In 1947, a young shepherd boy was tending to his sheep with a friend and playfully tossed a rock into a cave, only to hear a curious shattering sound. Little did he know that what he would stumble across was what some argue was the most important archaeological find of the 20th century, the Dead Sea Scrolls. What was written on these scrolls, and who exactly were the mysterious ancients known as the Essenes? Our guest today will explain all of this and more right now. Welcome back, everybody, to Skywatch Television. We are so excited to be here. We have a totally loaded program for you. We want to run immediately into the content because, as always, it's a struggle to squeeze it all into just one episode. But before we do, let me introduce this week's special guests. With a doctorate in theology from Christian College of Texas, he's the author of over 20 books related to biblical and extra-biblical texts. He's the CEO of BibleFacts.org, Dr. Ken Johnson. So good to have you.
Thank you for having me on the program.
Author of numerous best-selling books and the writer, editor, and the director of the blockbuster film Silent Cry, The Darker Side of Trafficking, Josh Peck.
Hey, Josh. Glad to be here.
So the two of you have authored a couple of very exciting new books that we can't wait to show you and tell you all about. First, The Lost Prophecies of Qumran, and also The Ancient Mysteries of the Essenes. Who were the Essenes? We're going to talk about that right now. A lot of folks that attend today's traditional, modern, conventional church might not even know what the words Qumran, the Essenes, some of the prophecies that the Essenes that we're going to get into historically have been able to, you know, be validated to be historically true over and over and over again. The accuracy of the things that they foresaw coming before they happened.
Yeah.
This is, by the way, the very first time we've had the privilege of interviewing Dr. Ken Johnson at Skywatch TV.
That's awesome.
So first, tell us a little bit about yourself and then explain the Dead Sea Scrolls, who wrote them, and what significance they hold.
Sure. My name's Ken Johnson, and I run Bible Facts Ministries. I basically came to the Lord when I was 12 and realized that there's a ton of different denominations out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know which one's correct. So I started by looking at the church fathers, assuming that the direct disciples of the 12 apostles would probably give us more information.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And that led me down a path of other scrolls and things that they talked about, and that got me into the Dead Sea Scrolls. I was able to study them in seminary, but of course, back in those days, we didn't have access to the doctrinal stuff.
Right.
And so for the past 3 or 4 years, I've been intently studying and producing literature on the Dead Sea Scrolls. And basically what they are, we have to remember that the priests of Israel had to be descended from Levi, and then eventually descended from Aaron, then eventually descended from Zadok. They're the only ones that can be priests. Well, when the apostasy hit, the true priests were run out of town, executed. They went to Alexandria, Egypt, built a secondary temple. When it was finally safe because the Romans stopped the executions, they came back to Qumran and eventually went forward. What they did is they took the entire temple library with them. So we have what's called a public canon, which is our Old Testament.
Right.
This is before the New Testament. But then all the extra history, chronology, prophecy, all sorts of things. And some of that was left in a hurry in the hills of Judea. And so we know those now as the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Okay.
Right. Now, why do you think so many churches, they don't focus on topics like this whatsoever? They're doing whatever it is that they do today. I'm not making judgments, but I'm saying you don't really hear people talk. This morning, please stand with me. We're going to talk about the Essenes. We're going to talk about Qumran. We're going to talk about the Dead Sea Scrolls. Why do you think that is, and what purpose do they serve in terms of people focusing on them? Like, what significance do they hold today in terms of modern prophecy?
Sure. Well, the first question is mainly because it's new information.
Okay.
The rabbis, and we can talk about this later, but the rabbis spent a lot of time and effort to completely erase the fact that they existed
for a very good reason.
Well, their concept is, and according to their theology, they teach that the Messiah was supposed to come and die for our sins. The Messiah is God incarnate. The one true God that we worship is triune. This is all spelled out in their scrolls over and over again, actually. The Messiah was supposed to come and die in one Shemitah after the end of the ninth Jubilee of their age, which translates into 32 AD.
Okay.
So they had a lot of extra-biblical prophecies, extra-biblical things that we could talk about. But the when the apostasy hit, everybody said, no, that's made-up stuff, and kind of pushed them out of the way. And then, of course, when Christianity came, almost all of the Essenes became Christian.
Right.
And the order just kind of disappeared over time. But it's really important for us to know, because Paul says in Romans that eventually all Israel will be saved.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And this is a start of it. Back in the 40s, we found large pieces of actual Bible texts. That proves the Bible's not been tampered with, but that's all it does. And then it wasn't until the late 1990s that the theology was finally released to the public. So the actual answer is that we've only had about 22 years to study this.
Gotcha.
Oh, wow.
That's not enough time for any denomination to say, oh, wow, we need to make a change here.
Right.
So would you consider the work that you guys have done to be really forthcoming and cutting edge?
Yes,
I believe so. Ahead of the curve, revelatory.
Especially in the mainstream, because a lot of this stuff is scholarly, academic stuff that when you read through it, at least for people like me, it's really hard to read through. I got to read the lines a few times. But in the mainstream, there's really not a whole lot of people who are talking about this, I think in the way that Ken is, and hopefully I am too. And to add on to your question about why churches don't really talk about this stuff, all these events happen in what's called the 400 silent years.
I was going to ask you about that.
Right. So there's a large period of time in between the Old Testament and the New Testament. That's why when you read through the Old Testament, you end in Malachi, everything seems to make sense. You understand how Israel works and, the priestly system in the temple. But then you start Matthew and everything's different. There's Pharisees, Sadducees, and what's going on. Those 400 silent years is when all the stuff with the Dead Sea Scrolls happened. So all that history is in the Dead Sea Scrolls. You could almost think of the Dead Sea Scrolls as kind of like a intertestamental, I wouldn't say addition to the Bible because it's not comparable to the inspired word of God, but it's history that fills in that gap.
Right.
So that's why a lot of churches don't talk about it. They just simply don't know, and a lot of this research is cutting edge, and it's only coming out now. So the Essenes were a faction of Jewish people around the time of Christ. We're aware of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, but we don't know a whole lot about the Essenes. Most Christians have never heard of them. But they were the keepers of the Dead Sea Scrolls. So what we've been able to piece together from the Dead Sea Scrolls tells us about the Essenes themselves, their culture, and more importantly, their prophecy. Because at that time, the Pharisees were saying the gift of prophecy was done and over with. Mm-hmm. That gift had ceased. Does that sound familiar in our day today?
Right. At the front of the program, I kind of led with something having to do with the Essenes and their almost spotless record of being able to almost look into the future and prophesy that certain things would come to pass over and over and over again.
Yeah.
What was their reputation for accuracy, talking about the Essenes?
Yeah, so they have a really rich history during those 400 years, and you can piece these together from the scrolls. So there's rebellions and wars, and this led to the creation of the Pharisees, Sadducees, and Essenes. So in Israel, as Ken mentioned earlier, there was a godly priestly line of Zadok that was supposed to be in charge of temple duties, but they got ousted and replaced. So they left for Qumran, made a settlement there, and that whole story helps us understand the conditions of Israel. So that gap in the Testaments, we learn from sources such as Josephus that the Essenes had a reputation for being absolutely accurate in their prophecy. Mm-hmm. And there's even a couple of stories about that. One of them was about King Herod. Before he became king, there was an Essene that prophesied or predicted that he would become king, even telling him what kind of king he would be.
This was
before Herod even had any interest or anything having to do with that. Well, when Herod became king, he sent for that Essene again to talk to him, and the Essene told him how long his reign would be, and it turns out that was accurate as well. So there's a whole bunch of stories like that, not only in the Dead Sea Scrolls, which are full of prophecy, but also in other extra-biblical sources and historical sources such as Josephus.
Now, here is a very curious question, okay, because there are whispers, and somebody's asked me this too. John the Baptist, was he an Essene?
Yeah, I think there's several reasons to think that that might be the case. So first, the Essenes believe that they were fulfilling Isaiah 43, so chapter 40, verse 3, about the voice crying in the wilderness and preparing the way of the Lord. So the Essenes, we find this in their communal documents, like the Damascus document and community rules. They actually talk about that they're whole purpose is to fulfill this prophecy. Well, John the Baptist fulfilled that prophecy, as we learn about in the gospel. So that's one kind of connection that we can make. There's some strange ones too, like John had a diet of locusts. Have you ever wondered why it says that in the gospels?
Yes.
Like, why is that in there? Well, it turns out in the Dead Sea Scrolls themselves, and I write about this in my new book, there's actually instructions on how to prepare locusts. But at that time in Israel, that wasn't a common delicacy, only in Qumran.
You're talking about the lost prophecies of Qumran.
Lost prophecies of Qumran. So that's one strange, like, small kind of hint,
right,
but it's a hint nonetheless,
sure,
and it helps kind of explain why the Gospels might have mentioned something like that. There's other things, too. John's father worked in the temple, so you would expect that John would have followed in his father's footsteps and worked in the temple, but he didn't. The Essenes, we learn from Josephus and in the Dead Sea Scrolls, they had a practice that they would accept children into their community and raise them as their own, like if the parents wanted to, you know, give their child up for adoption or something, or just go and learn with the Essenes. It's, you know,
as like an apprenticeship.
Yeah. So they had a history of that. So it's possible, for whatever reason, Ken actually might be able to elaborate more on that, but it's possible that John's parents might have given John to the Essenes, possibly because they knew about this prophecy.
Gotcha.
Maybe they believed it was true. Maybe they saw corruption in the temple and didn't want John to be raised in that.
Right.
Several
reasons.
But they
had also seen the Messiah and the whole prophecy and then the quickening.
That's right.
In Elizabeth's womb. So maybe that had something
exactly
to do with it.
Yeah. So there's a lot of reasons to think that John was an Essene. That's a couple, and I'm sure Ken can probably elaborate on that.
Before this program started, I was asking Dr. Johnson that I had heard about many of these illustrations, John the Baptist being one of them, that they predicted this voice in the wilderness, Herod the king being one of them. But the parts of their prophecies that really, you know, light up my mind that I'd like Ken to say something about, the fact that they predicted the Messiah, Jesus, would arrive exactly when he did, and I think something like 200 years before the event, and that he would die in 32 AD. I mean, now you're getting rich specificity, you know, that you're nailing down
dates
and times.
Even that he'll be God incarnate, like even that.
So I want, and you had said, I'm asking you all these, he was going to die, he'd be for the Gentiles, age of grace, and you were saying, yes, and there's a story behind every one of those.
Oh, yeah.
But to me, and we'll get into this more next week, a lot of this has to do with their calendar, which Dr. Ken has recreated. I would even go so far as to tell our audience that Ken really has emerged as, in my opinion, one of the leading scholars on this subject matter in the world, and has dedicated many, many, many years to working really with the highest level, both archaeology, the findings, what scholars, historians happen to believe. But some of these events, I mean, other than just saying, well, obviously they were being led by God, and next week we're going to get into their calendar, which also is not just the past but the future. Give me one or two examples of when you had aha moments and discoveries about the Essenes that made you stop for a moment and think, wow, these guys were really tuned in to God somehow.
How long you got? Now, my favorite scroll is 11Q13, which means it's in Qumran, Cave 11, the 13th scroll they found. And it talks about the Melchizedekian priesthood and the fact Messiah would be the final Melchizedekian priest. And it actually says that the Messiah is God incarnate, that he comes to pay penalty for our sin nature, and somehow that reconciles us to God. Now, understand, I'm not talking about the Bible, just the scrolls. And it goes on to talk about, again, the calendar, one Shemitah after the end of the ninth jubilee of the eighth Unna, which, if you know their calendar, it comes out to be 32 AD. It's like saying decades and centuries is all it is. And the calendar is actually really simple. But it's amazing because we have a prophecy in Isaiah that says that, Isaiah 29, says that when Israel comes back the second time, the old ones would begin to speak out of the dust of the earth. And I believe that's obviously the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Wow. Gotcha.
So if we're being told that, we probably ought to read it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And
so
some of these things are amazing. And this is where it really helps to plug in the church fathers with the Dead Sea Scrolls. The church fathers are not authoritative, but when they say this is what happened, you can actually pull it together and see that according to Hippolytus, for instance, John the Baptist was the leader of the school of the prophets. He was from the Zadok line. He baptized the Messiah into the ministry that he was supposed to do for a reason.
That's
and this
crazy.
All points to the fact that he was an Essene. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of other evidences that we have, actual documents that talk about that. So there's quite a bit.
Well, and I know we got to go to a break, but maybe when we come back from the break, talk a little bit about this reference to Melchizedek from the Essenes predicting that the Messiah would be the final one in the order of that. And is the New Testament literally speaking to the teachings of the Essenes by making the reference that Jesus is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek?
Well, before we go to the break, though, I want to ask you one more thing, Dr. Ken. In your book, The Ancient Mysteries of the Essenes, now I understand this is not a normal volume book, that this is actually three books, is that correct?
Yes.
Compiled into one volume?
Right. I originally wrote The Testaments of the Patriarchs, and it's their teaching that Adam through Aaron actually wrote a last will and testament to their kids. Oh. And they consider these to be real. And the prophecies and the teaching matches New Testament theology perfectly. So as a Christian believing in the New Testament, I agree with them.
Well, we're going to tell you right now how you can get a copy of both of these incredible works. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Call now and take advantage of SkyWatch TV's most groundbreaking deal of the year. With the rediscovery of the ancient prophecies from a mysterious group of prophets and scribes hundreds of years before Christ, your understanding of end times prophecy and the final age of man is about to be forever changed. In Josh Peck's new book, The Lost Prophecies of Qumran, the veil is lifted as you discover how much of what you've been taught about Israel in the first century is incomplete. Shockingly, there were Jewish believers who knew exactly what to expect from the coming Messiah, that he would be God in the flesh, would die for our sins, and even the date of his first arrival. In Josh Peck's new book, The Lost Prophecies of Qumran, you will discover lost prophecies only recently discovered in the Dead Sea Scrolls about the time we are now living in, how the enigmatic group known as the Essenes formed and what influence they had on the New Testament, what hidden feasts and festivals the Essenes celebrated, and what messages the group left behind for believers living in the present age, how the prophecies of Daniel and Revelation fit within the Essene timetable, and how an ancient Jewish calendar actually predicts the prophetic significance of the year 2025. But that's not all. For the first time ever, you'll also receive Dr. Ken Johnson's massive three-book collection entitled The Ancient Mysteries of the Essenes, where Dr. Johnson compiles three of his most groundbreaking research studies on the Dead Sea Scrolls into one massive collection. In Book 1, The Ancient Dead Sea Scrolls Calendar and the Prophecies It Reveals, you will discover the secrets of the mysterious 364-day calendar used by the ancients since the time of creation and how it has been hidden until now for the appointed time. In Book 2, Ancient Testimonies of the Patriarchs, Autobiographies from the Dead Sea Scrolls, you will hear the previously hidden prophetic texts of such patriarchs as Enos, grandson of Adam, Lamech, father of Noah, Amram, father of Moses and Aaron, and even Enoch from the Book of Enoch fame. And in the most shocking revelation yet, Book 3, The Ancient Order of Melchizedek, you will learn astonishing facts about the enigmatic priest Melchizedek, such as why his priesthood was and is different from that of Levi, why the Messiah was ordained after the order of Melchizedek, and how the facts surrounding this mysterious order dramatically affect the theology and practical applications of our Christian walk today. This collection is an absolute necessity for any researcher's library and for those who want to fully step into the minds of the ancients and see the Dead Sea Scrolls like they never have before. Now you can get this incredible collection for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling. So don't miss out on SkyWatch TV's most groundbreaking deal of the year, the Lost Prophecies and Ancient Mysteries Collection, available now at SkyWatchTVStore.com. Order now or call 1-844-750-4985.
Welcome back to SkyWatch TV. I'm Joe Horn. We're in studio today. We're having an incredible conversation with Dr. Ken Johnson and Josh Peck, the authors of the books that you just saw the spot for, The Ancient Mysteries of the Essenes, and also Josh's new book, The Lost Prophecies of Qumran. And we are smack dab in the thick of it. Dr. Ken, let's go right back to your book, The Ancient Mysteries of the Essenes. Right before the break, you talked a little bit about how that was actually more than one volume squashed into one book. Tell us a little bit more about maybe the other two volumes that you didn't mention before.
Well, the other two volumes is The Ancient Order of Melchizedek, and we actually have a lot of documentation on what a Melchizedekian priest is, who the 10 Melchizedekian priests were of that order and how it was changed into the Levitical order until the Messiah would come back, who would be the 10th and final Melchizedekian priest. And it matches perfectly with what Paul says in Hebrews 4-7 about the Melchizedekian order. Matter of fact, there's some things in Hebrews that, as Peter would say, are hard to understand, but they're actually completely explained by the scrolls. And so that's an amazing thing, the patriarchal writings, and then also the Dead Sea Scroll calendar. I always thought that would be boring, but there's actually a rabbinical curse that says that if you study Daniel 9 and try to figure out when the Messiah comes, or Isaiah 53, then you're under a curse and you're not going to make it to the world to come. But there's actually another rabbinical curse that says if you study anything dealing with a 364-day calendar, you're cursed.
Wow.
And I can understand Isaiah 53 and Daniel 9, but I'm thinking, why would they care that I look at a calendar? Well, when you study it, you find out why.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it all points to Jesus.
So you've mentioned several times Melchizedek. Mm-hmm. We know that in Genesis 14, he's briefly mentioned. Mm-hmm. But what do the Dead Sea Scrolls say about him? Because there could be people watching this show that have heard you drop that name three or four times, and they're starting to wonder, wait a minute, who is this character and why is he relevant?
I have always wondered all about that myself, so I'm ready for the answer.
Well, basically, we have to understand that there's a Levitical priesthood and a Melchizedekian priesthood.
Okay.
And in Hebrew, it's just the priesthood of Levi, the priesthood of Melchizedek. And what's going on here is a Melchizedekian priest is a king-priest-prophet combination.
Oh.
And under Jacob, that was changed. The kings were supposed to come through the line of Judah.
Mm-hmm.
Levi was to be the priest and the prophets elsewhere. And so what's happening is they're broke up for a reason, and that's all explained in the book, and they come back together under Messiah. So the Melchizedekian line is a priesthood. And that's why it's confusing, because when you get into Hebrews, it says this Melchizedek didn't have a father or mother, so it must be a Christophany, you think. We're talking about the priesthood. The Levitical priesthood has to have the proper mother, father, and genealogy, has to have a beginning of days and an end of life. It's all mentioned in Numbers, exactly how you do
that.
The Melchizedekian priesthood is not. It's whomever has it and whoever gives it over. And Paul's comment is we have an everlasting priest that doesn't give it over anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really amazing.
Yeah.
The Melchizedekian priest that blessed Abraham was actually Shem.
Okay.
And so we have many documents that talk about that in the whole lineage.
Well, what's great about that, too, is when you read through the book of Hebrews, there's some really almost scary passages that sound like we as Christians could lose our salvation at any moment if we, you know, sin. You know, sometimes those passages are taken out of context. But with the Melchizedekian priesthood, realizing that that's the context of the book of Hebrews, that really helps explain that that's not talking about us individual Christians. This is a message to, like, the Jews at the time that were rejecting Jesus and trying to go back to the temple. There's a whole story in with that, even, isn't there?
Yeah, the entire concept that Paul is talking about, we have the ages again in the calendar. So the age was supposed to end in 75. Paul's writing the book of Hebrews to the Jerusalem priests, actually, and it's somewhere in the neighborhood of the late 50s, early 60s. Basically, he's saying, you guys know the prophecies, you've rejected them, and that's okay to be a Pharisee until Messiah comes, but now you've seen it. You've been made a partaker in the world to come. You've seen the Holy Spirit's miracles. You know better now. You know the rest of the prophecies from Micah and all that. You have about 15 years to make a decision, or it will be made for you at the end of the age. And that's exactly what happened. They decided the ones that stayed and rejected Messiah were destroyed or enslaved when Titus destroyed the temple in 70 AD, just a few years before. So we got to take the prophecies seriously.
Right. Sounds like very much like a countdown, which then, of course, throws my mind into our coming fall virtual conference. But I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. Right, Josh?
Right.
But let's go back, Josh, here. The Dead Sea Scrolls. Mm-hmm. There is a forgotten history of today's Christians and Jews, some believe. What is your feeling about that?
This, to me, was the most important reason to even get into this research, because right now there are an untold number of Jewish people that don't know their history. They know the Pharisee Orthodox tradition, but all the Essene stuff has largely been kept hidden, or it's just not discussed as much. And so they have lost access to this whole part of their history. Now, what makes that so important, it's not just for historical reasons, but the Essene history points to Jesus. So, you know, we as Christians, we want to help our Jewish brothers and sisters realize who their Messiah right. is. We want to assist in that. This is a great way to do that. And I actually think there's a really good reason to believe this is why the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered when they were, that God had that time in mind for a specific reason. So if we can encourage our Jewish friends to look into their other aspects of their history that they haven't been taught, such as the Essenes, Dead Sea Scrolls, all of that points to Jesus as Messiah. And that's a really exciting prospect. So I think that by putting this out there, we can really help Jewish people today reclaim their history and hopefully accept Jesus as their Messiah.
So essentially what you're saying is that, because so many people say, whatever happened to the Essenes? They're like the Middle East version of the Anasazi here in the United States. Yeah. They're well, there except, one day, they're gone the next, right?
Except we actually do know what happened. They became Christian, you know. And, you know, when it came, so we actually come from the Essenes, which is really exciting. We as Christians come from that ancient Jewish tradition. Now, we're mostly Gentiles, but we get to enjoy in some of that. So now, since God has set this time for the Dead Sea Scrolls to be rediscovered, distributed all throughout the world, there's something important here. And I think mm-hmm. this is part of what connects with that prophecy we talked about earlier, all of Israel will be saved. I think this is a big piece of causing that to happen.
Amen.
Well, I believe, Joe, that these two books, if they're not the most important books that are being printed today, they're certainly among the top material. Why? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, again, to allude to what Dr. Johnson and Josh said earlier, is that this is really essentially brand, it's ancient information, but it's brand new or rediscovered.
Right.
We're digging this up out of the dust of the earth. The voice of the ancient prophets is becoming renewed. And now next week, mm-hmm. we're going to get into one of the major causes that caused this division between the scribes and Pharisees and the Essenes. And it had to do with the difference between a lunar and a solar calendar.
Oh, yeah.
And one being perceived as the one given by God and therefore could accurately direct your path to imagine both the times you're living in, but also what is coming. Mm-hmm. And we will learn next week that the Essenes not only accurately predicted the age of Christ, the age of grace, all of that, they also predicted the final ages of mankind. And if they were that accurate back then, we need to pay attention to what they're saying now. And what they're saying now is our immediate future.
Yes.
Begins this final age. And so I know with a minute on the clock, we won't have time to get into that today. But Dr. Ken, if you could kind of whet people's appetite for next week, and this whole issue around these different calendars, and why is that important?
Well, it is pretty important. According to the Essenes, we were supposed to be using a solar calendar. There was a prophecy that when the apostasy hit with the Jews, they would reject it and go to a lunar one. Other than that, the basics are the same, but it just shifts everything off to confuse. And we'll talk about that next week.
Next week, our guests return to talk more about the Essenes and how their calendar not only laid out all of the ages of man, but also pointed to the coming last age that is just around the corner. You are not going to want to miss next week's program. For Dr. Ken Johnson, Josh Peck, everybody live in the studio and on panel with me, I'm Joe Artishorn. Keep your eyes on the prize, which is Jesus Christ. We'll be back.